Hey, what's good, party people? Welcome to the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
It is going fabulous.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, the weather's great. I mean, it's a little crispy outside because what I've been told, Marissa, is Jack Frost is in town and Santa Claus is coming.
I know. I was hoping it was going to actually rain a little bit, but I don't know.
Maybe they're saying, in Southern California, it's supposed to be coming on Sunday. So, a little bit of rain doesn't hurt nobody.
I know tomorrow I'm doing my first Spartan race. Wow. So I'm really, really, really excited for it.
Is this cold?
It's supposed to actually rain up there. So it's Lake Cassaic, and it's supposed to be really cold and rain. So we will
That sounds miserable. You go and have your fun. If you think that's fun, then go ahead, do your thing. I think I'm gonna have to stay inside. Marissa and I, we are beyond stoked for today's show because our guest on Just Talking is Benny Pugh. He is a veteran music industry executive who has shaped the sound and culture for music worldwide for nearly 30 years, delivering radio hits for superstar artists. You might have heard of them. They're, Jay-Z, Rihanna, Travis Scott, Future, just to name a few. I mean, this guy's got a laundry list of kick-ass artists. And also joining us on Strike a Chord is a phenomenal guitarist who's now taken the role as frontman while still playing the guitar. His name is Nero Knox. He's incredible. And he's going to be discussing his debut LP that's currently in the demo process. So we're going to be listening to those tracks, and he's going to be breaking down the whole mastering, mixing for any of you music lovers who might not necessarily be involved with the creative process. Well, we're going to have some fun. We're going to be talking about that. And I also want to remind everybody right now that don't forget to check out our music podcast, Off the Fret, more music talk featuring LA pop rockers, Poe the Passenger, out now wherever you listen to podcasts or on this YouTube channel. And Marissa, if you're ready, I'm ready. I think it's time to rock and roll. So let's get it on, baby. What's good, listeners? Our guest on Just Talking is Benny Pugh, a veteran music industry executive who has shaped the sound and culture of music worldwide for nearly 30 years, delivering radio hits for superstar artists such as Jay-Z, Rihanna, Travis Scott, and Future, to name a few, is here live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. How you doing, Benny?
What's the word?
What's the word? You tell me what's good, my man.
grinding.
Yes, always the grinding.
Hey, that's what's up, Benny. I'm looking forward to reading your new book on impact, life, leadership, and betting on yourself. And it's come to my attention that the title of your book on impact has a bigger meaning. So let the CCS family know what's good.
So thank you for having me first and foremost and sharing my story with the audience. I was in a near-death car accident in 2014 where I hit a tree as a passenger at 90 miles an hour, sustained a level 2 concussion. That's when you black out between 1 and 5 minutes. L3, L4 vertebrae fracture, bulging disc in my back, lacerated liver that led me to lose half my blood supply. And we hit the tree so hard that it severed 2 feet of my small intestine. And in that moment, God put a book inside of me called On Impact. And impact is an acronym for intuition, mastery, pivot, authenticity, connection, and teamwork. And it takes the reader.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Damn.
Takes the reader through my journey from 11 years old to modern day with an undercurrent of music. And I feel that not only because I'm the author of the book, but I feel the book is valuable to people because I can reach everyone where they're at because I've gone from being paperboy to president and intern to CEO.
Yeah, what I did find kind of interesting about you, Benny, was you were a paperboy, but then I heard you were a stand-up comedian at one point, which is pretty funny. Do you remember any some of the jokes that you used to do?
Obviously, if I did, I wouldn't be here with you because I'd be way better at it. Yo, it's a hard grind, bro.
Hey, it's so hard. I tried to do stand-up comedian. I'll be honest. I tried and I did like 2 shows and I was like, wow, this is a lot harder than I expected. Like, I give kudos to every stand-up comedian because it is like that is a lot of time to put jokes in, keep relevant, be funny, right? That is so hard.
Oh, no, it's so true. And I know, Benny, the reason why I'm bringing your stand-up career into the mix is because it's my understanding that you were discovered by a young gal who was in the stand-up comedy scene, and she worked for Motown Records, and she essentially told you, hey, you know, I got this internship spot. I want you to join into the mix. How much did your life change after this?
Man, it changed 720, maybe 360 times. Right. You know, I'm probably one of the few people who never had aspirations of being into entertainment and then music. So, you know, I'm a big believer of faith and destiny and frequency. And I was drawn to this opportunity simply by chance. You know, someone booked me for a show to perform for a whopping $25, and I took it, right? And just so happened, it's you never know who's gonna be in the audience watching mm-hmm. you. So when at the end of the show, she was, you know, pretty thrilled with the performance and asked me what I was doing and what was next, and hadn't prepared for it. So she said, come on down and be my intern. So going into Motown opened the door for me, because before I got into the music business, I was a salesperson. So my skills, I had a skill set that was, you know, indicative for the environment that I was in. So it was, you know, just a different means of providing for myself. And I saw a lot of gaps and opportunities in the music business that I could actually, you know, press on and move forward.
That's amazing, Benny. And I know you started off at Motown Records and then eventually you went to Death Row Records, correct?
No. So I went from Motown. Right. I had that. That was my introduction. Then I went to Perspective, worked for Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Those were the Janet Jackson guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right. They did all of those albums. Then I went from there to Arista Record and moved to Washington, D.C., which I was the first one to put Monica on the radio. WCDX in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Worked with Usher when he was 14 years old. Goody Mob, which CeeLo Green actually came out of that. And, you know,
I love CeeLo Green. Sorry. That's like, yeah. I don't know.
He's awesome.
Huge yeah. fan of him.
Yeah. Then moved on from there. I went to MCA Records with Shaggy. You remember that?
It yeah. wasn't me. It wasn't yeah, me.
That came out of that. My time there. Then Casey and JoJo All My Life, the Wedding Classic. You know, that was my run during that period. Then I went to Def Jam Records.
No, Def Jam, my apologies.
Def Jam, and it was an incredible opportunity because I met some of the biggest artists in the world. Mariah Carey, that's when The Emancipation of Mimi came out, which was wow. one of the biggest records, and yep. realized she dropped the Christmas classic right now.
That is still number one
yes.
hit. That is still
right. Like, isn't that insane?
Mariah owned Christmas.
She does. Right? She does.
It's not the truth. It ain't going to be changing for another 50 Christmas. Years. Isn't that the truth, man? And I know you were also the former president of Roc Nation Music. And I know the CCS family's got to be wondering, like, how did you transition into this role? I mean, obviously, clearly, you know, Roc Nation's got that amazing partnership up with the NFL to be hosting all the halftime shows moving forward. So how did you get into the mix?
Well, our relationship was fostered at Def Jam. And mm-hmm. then as time went by, when, you know, they came and tapped me to come work in their music division as the president of their music department, it was a natural fit and it was great. You know, we had some really big success, created some new ventures. And, you know, that's when I decided that for me at that point in my life, it was time to pivot. And, you know, after having success for a lot of other folks in creating and marketing and developing, it's like, you know what? I'm going to step out and bet on myself. Life, leadership, and betting on yourself is the title. That's yes. the subtitle of the book. So I got to live it if I'm going to say it. And
yeah, that's right, baby. No, I like that. Yeah. You know, and one of the things that I saw online about you, Benny, was you compare the music industry to tech companies. I didn't quite understand that. So what do you mean by that?
So that goes back. So in the book, I talk about when I was an internship, when I had the internship, I went in a 3-piece suit. And you have to realize record companies, if you've never been to one, the attire and the vibe and the feel is the equivalent of tech companies. People are dressed cool. People just, you know, it's open space, thinking, creative. So that's what the relationship is. It's
I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought it would have been actually a little bit more corporate stuffy. You're running big numbers, big money. So I wouldn't
Nobody sees those people. We keep
Thinking.
But I gotta say though, Benny, you got people like Jordan Peterson who are against those kind of ideas. You know, he's been kind of talking recently about how people who are just not dressing up classy when it comes to the workforce. What do you say to people like that?
Hey, listen, you know what? The clothes are only the outer. Obviously, everything starts within, and people are gonna feel you based on how you act and what you say, not necessarily by what you wear. And they're gonna just be that shallow. Then you know what? Send them out.
Right? I mean, doesn't it just sound so silly? Get them out of here. I like that, buddy. And you've also stated that radio is, in fact, not dead. Radio is important in creating stars. And is that really the case? Because, you know, a lot of the times, you know, people feel like, is radio like the main focus for record labels today? Because it just seems like they keep playing the same tracks over and over again. Where are those B-sides?
So I think mantra, you know, the narrative that we state, we sometimes can become addicts to. If you say something over and over again, whether it's true or not, you'll start to believe it. Now, has radio shifted and pivoted? Of course. It's not the medium that is all that you need to be a star. There are a lot of different elements. You know, obviously streaming is important. Touring is important, right? Staying connected with your fans are important, but also radio still has a value. Who would have known, right, when you think about Taylor Swift, that the biggest consumption piece of content for her was vinyl, 14 million.
Yeah.
Right. Like, who would have said that? Right. Like, who would have thought that? So most people go, God, vinyl's dead. Like, nobody's doing vinyl. Nobody cares. Like, get it out of here. Well, you know, there are obviously she's one of the biggest artists in the world. It's a different recipe, but it's equally important to know that there's still value in all mediums.
And just because you kind of went on the Taylor Swift vibe, how do you feel about her Swiftie fans suing Ticketmaster for the dynamic pricing?
Yo, dude, I don't want to say nothing. Can we go to another topic? Like, okay. You don't want to faux pas. You don't want to do anything.
Yo, really? You don't want to say nothing about it? You don't have any kind of outrage over Ticketmaster Live Nation?
It wasn't me.
So many other things we can talk about in the news. I don't know if I'm prepared. Let's shift.
We'll move on.
Okay, fair enough, Benny. But, you know, you started off as a promoter and then later morphed into, you know, structuring deals with artists. And do you view artists going independent more than ever today as like a disservice to their musical career compared to, you know, finding a record label to represent you?
It's kind of back to the question, is radio dead? What we are in a cycle and understanding and in a time is that you're able as an artist to figure out what's best, the best fit for you. Mm-hmm. If you roll back 20 years, it was one size fit all, right? So, and that was the major label. But now the major label doesn't really necessarily want you if you've not put in the work, right? Because if you can't create a fan base on your own, then who are we to, right? They don't do artist development in the traditional old school way of bring them in, get them dressed, the other songs, right? Mm-hmm. Artists now have so much control of who they are. And if they're not able to at least get traction, you can't get your mom, your dad, your cousins, your high school friends to at least buy, you know, stream a couple tracks, then you're not ready.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're just not ready. So in all seriousness, I think it's a great opportunity for the labels as well as for the artists on deciding what is going to be, you know, the marriage and the fit for.
And I think it's really cool that they're allowing artists to be more themselves. I know Prince spoke out a lot about that, about them trying to keep him as that sexy image, especially when he spiritually evolved and went there, and how the record labels were trying to promote him in a certain way that was no longer him. So it's great to hear about companies that are allowing artists to be more themselves.
Well, Marissa, I'm going to play devil's advocate for you and Benny, because I don't know if you guys saw the video. video from Cardi B this week on Instagram, but she was basically essentially saying that making music isn't fun anymore because it feels like a job and music executives give her anxiety. This is almost kind of like the same thing Halsey was saying at the beginning of the summer, where she felt like, I can't even get my song released unless I post a TikTok video. So when you hear this, what do you say to people, you know, to Cardi B and Halsey that have this kind of disagreement with, you know, social media and utilizing that tool to promote their music?
I mean, not knowing, let's be real, we don't know what, how long this anxiety has been building, dealing, but you know, hundreds of millions of dollars later, she can have that position, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's right. I was just about to say that. I was like, when you got that kind of a clout.
Yeah, you like, you know, when you're one of the, once again, one of the biggest artists in the world, bringing in, you know, eight figure salaries, then, you know, hey, listen, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But for everyone else, you know, it might just be a different observation, you know, on how they proceed forward. You might want to make sure that somebody's involved in giving you the direction that you need to hopefully become a Cardi B.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. I hear you out on that. And Benny, let's dig into the mind of a music executive. So how do you determine whether a prospective artist has the itch to be great?
So the piece of determining who it is so subjective is because it's a vibe frequency thing. After you put it all the talent together, like if you don't sound good, then it's probably not going to happen. If you don't sound good, it's probably not going to happen. If you don't have the confidence, probably not going to happen. But when you come with all of the things that are valuable, right, for your artistry, and then you see it, you connect with it, because it's not always going to be about analytics, right? Every star is not, you know, when you discover them on a trajectory of like millions and millions of sales. It's sometimes being able to look at someone, talk to them, feel their passion, and understand they may not be it today, but you're definitely going to be it tomorrow.
Oh, I like that.
I feel like that's the person that found you on stand-up comedy. She probably felt
yes,
the same way.
Exactly.
She saw that something in
the
you,
intangible,
whatever that is.
The intangible, right? Mm-hmm. If given the opportunity, it's going to work. Yes. And that's what people need, is the opportunity. And that's what you're looking for.
Absolutely, Benny. I know, being in the music industry for over 30 plus years, has anything changed from the 90s to now when it comes to discovering new talent?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if anything changed for me. I was like, yeah, I had hair at one point.
It's all good, my man. I still got hair growing on my back.
I mean, like, yeah, a lot has changed, Chris. A lot has changed.
I don't know, Benny. I'm kind of jealous because, I mean, obviously I like the hair on the top of my hair, but, you know, all this back hair and shit like that, trust me, you do not want it, my friend. It is no bueno.
Gross, Chris, every time. Gross, homie, gross.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. There's a plus and a con.
They got therapies for that, treatments, man.
Hey, it's called waxing.
You make too much money if you don't like it.
Yes, it's called waxing. You can easily wax, homie, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, you two. But what's like the number one red flag when it comes to signing an artist?
You know, artists who aren't really passionate about the career. They're just in it for the money. You know, I want to be successful. Like somebody just goes, I want to be successful. Not, you know, I want my voice to amplify throughout the world. Like those.
Does the same apply when it comes to follower count?
You mean on social media?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean how many? How many people?
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people, you know, obviously it starts off with, you know, hey, you know, I just want a huge following. But it's like, okay, that will eventually come when you produce great music. Have you ever come across any kind of artist during your time?
So think about this, and me being someone who, you know, who's just adapted and adopted social media. I have multiple chains of views of thought on that. If you're trying to curate 1,000 people who are going to give you $100 and, you know, you have a real rabid community, then that's great. If you're someone who wants to buy a bunch of followers to look like you have a bunch of followers, but only two people really care about you, and that works for you, that's great, right? If you're someone who's authentic and you've curated, like, you know, this true organic fan base, and one person gets you seven people get you 100 people, and et cetera, exponentially, because they've all bought into you, and that works for you, that's great. So there's no right or wrong reason, but there, you know, there's analytics now that you can determine who's what.
And yeah, and I know you're adamant about, you know, artists, you know, creating a team to support your music. Why is that so important today?
Well, it should have been important yesterday, but now that we're dealing yesteryear, but now that we're dealing in current time, is if you're in this business and this is your artistry and your artistry is your business, you have to understand that at some point, if it's about monetizing, then you need to be in position to understand as big influxes of money comes in into your business. So if you don't take the time to learn and you only do just the art, or you don't have people who are delegated to make sure that you're protected, then it's all for naught, right?
Yeah.
What's the reason if you don't, there's no true spiritual or economic benefit coming out of you sharing your artistry with the world?
Yeah,
I'm loving your insight right now, Benny. You are an incredible soul. And, you know, I kind of want to switch gears and talk some industry talk, you know, because some of hip hop's most popular artists, such as ASAP Rocky, Future, 21 Savage, Young Thug, Gunna, to name a few, have been subject to a massive music leak that occurred earlier this week, with more than 200 unreleased tracks landing on a website called leaked.ck. And so what's going on? What's happening? I noticed a lot of Atlanta rappers were on there. Was the password like slime123? Like, I don't understand. Like, how does this happen?
You know what? There's no real rhyme or reason. You just have to think about, like, when people are recording, it's still a trust business. Like, you're not recording yourself. You have an engineer, you know, you have people who have the hard drive. You know, there's just a lot of, there's still exposure. Although people keep it as tight as they can in their circle, you just never know. So
are you suggesting that it was an inside source that would leak this kind of material?
What I'm saying is that's just disgusting that anybody would take someone's art and put it out without their approval.
I mean, I totally fell for a lot of these superstar, you know, rappers in the hip hop scene, because clearly, you know, when the music gets leaked, it doesn't, you know, that viewership that could have potentially led you to the Billboard charts won't be counted now. And do you find this to be a problem moving forward? I mean, obviously, we're always talking about blockchain technology when it comes to Bitcoin, and what a clusterfuck that is. But should we start implementing that when it comes to music?
Well, I think it'll definitely go there. We'll definitely be in the blockchain space as time evolves and in the music business.
Yeah, so, and cybersecurity, I mean, it's a real thing. Our government's getting involved even more with it. Music industry will. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to keep something private, even on exactly. our own home stuff. I mean, that's something that everybody has to be aware of and continue with.
Yeah, no, it's so true. But, you know, but at the same time, I just feel like, from my perspective, at least, it just feels like music leaks are more prominent within the hip hop industry. And from your experience, have you dealt with artists who purposely leak their own material? Because that's some of the stuff that people have been saying about this right now.
So, I mean, there's been ebb and flows of it depends on the season. You haven't heard much more because artists have taken control and know the value of the monetization of their music and putting it in the marketplace. So that is probably less of than it was as a marketing tool in the past. You know, the leaked music, get it first, those kind of things. Putting it, I mean, that was part of the marketing at one stage or another. But times have changed. So until we get to the nit and grit of actually what's transpired, we just have to say, like, you know,
I don't think it was a purpose leak. I think there's too many artists. Yeah. Nobody's making money off this.
Making money.
And that's where you always got to look. Thank you.
That's cash now. Yep. No one's giving away for nothing. Like, there's just no reason for that.
No, it's so true. I mean, I remember, you know, with a lot of the rock and roll bands, maybe like a decade ago, it was always some jackass at like a Tarjay or Wally World who, you know, obviously got the LPs coming into the store a month early, and that he would leak it online. So, you know, obviously that could be clearly the case. But since we've been talking with you right now, Benny, I know there's a lot of cats out there that would love to be the position that you're in. And so is there any advice that you would give to the CCS family about how they can set up their goals to be in the position that you are in today when it comes to the music industry? For him.
Buy his book.
Buy my book.
Buy his book. Get you started. My book is,
that's the literal aspect of it. But also, too, we're offering a conference because of that questions that's been asked of me from artists, executives, entrepreneurs in my travels. So we put together a conference called It's Your Time Conference, which is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, MLK Weekend. January 12th and 13th, we're going to do live auditions.
Nice.
Somebody will win $10,000 at the grand finale that I'm going to Zelle in their account on stage.
Come oh, my God. No way.
On the 14th.
That is pretty badass.
We're going to have some amazing panels with industry titans that are coming. Steve-O, the president of A&R from Warner's. Latrice Burnett, who is the general manager of Def Jam. We have panels on hip hop and spirituality. We're going to have how to get into real estate. We're going to have independent label versus major label, how to pick an attorney, how to choose a team, all of those things, and some really incredible managers and Grammy producers that will all partake in 2 days of panels. And then Sunday wow. night, we'll give away that 10 grand to somebody who's, knocked the socks off of the audience and will walk away for, you know.
People virtually tune in? Like, I'm not going to be able to fly out there. Like, if I wanted to virtually tune in, could I? Or is it only in person?
It's only in person.
Okay.
Only in person. But I will have, we will offer the digital package after.
Afterwards. Okay. That I'll probably have to get. Yes. Excited, yeah, Benny. Dude, thank you.
That is so freaking kick ass. And all I know is, Benny, you've been an amazing soul. And thank you again for joining the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. And before you go, Benny, what do you want for Christmas?
Yo, dude, everyone to come to itsyourtimeconference.com. itsyourtimeconference.com. And a repeat coming back to Chris's show.
Yeah, let's get it, baby. Benny. Oh, man, you've been a beautiful soul.
Thank you. Definitely come back.
Make it happen.
Let's get it, baby. Hey, trust me. You know, I will definitely keep to that word, my friend. We've been loving you so much so far. And also, got to remind the CCS family one last time. Where can they go ahead and buy your book on impact?
They can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold.
Rock and roll, Benny. You've been an amazing soul. Thank and you. Have a great weekend, my friend. And obviously, we were going to keep in touch, and I'll reach out to you in the new year, my friend.
Yes. Bye, Benny. Yes. Thank you.
Let's get it, baby. And this for everybody great. That's on the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show right now, stick around because we got so much more left here on the Chris College Show. All right, so we are basically waiting in for our Strike a Chord guest. We're gonna have to definitely try to reach out, Marissa. He's across the pond right now, so he is not inside of the mix as of this time, but we are working on it as we speak. This guy is a phenomenal soul. He is from London, North London, England. He is a rock and roller, Nero Knox. He's been in a lot of former bands. You might have heard of them. They're called King Lizard, Killa T, Holloway, Hell, and now he is stepping front and center with his debut LP. He got sick and tired of being the guitarist for numerous bands. He felt like he had the tenacity to become the frontman himself, and I know he is beyond stoked because he is being formally trained by Razbomb Anderson. You might have heard of him from a legendary rock and roll act, Diamond Head. So we're going to be talking about that and so much more. So, you know, Marissa, my co-host, she's a beautiful soul. I know you did, and yeah, you are such a beautiful soul. You know, this is live. It's in the moment. We totally get it. It's across the pond for you. So he's getting ready to rock and roll. So I kind of figured, Marissa, we could kind of maybe play some of his, one of his demo tracks right
Let's
now.
Do
so
it.
I put together, well, Nero Knox has been amazing soul. He was actually super kind enough to be able to send us over the demo tracks from his album, which you could pre-sell on his Kickstarter. Just type in Nero Knox Kickstarter, and you're gonna definitely find the Lady Locks hair. I wish I had hair like that. I bet Benny
does.
You
do on your back.
I do on my back. That's right, Marissa. That's really, really funny. And also, you know, I know he really wanted to express to everybody that, you know, if you want to get that authentic rock sound, it's not cheap. You know, he doesn't want to dwell into this whole drum samples. He doesn't want some cheap ass engineer to come into the mix. He wants professional people in the industry to make this album happen. And I know he has got very big ambitions. He's going to be trying to record drums at Abbey Road, and or it might be Fiction, but we put together a really cool lyric video for Nero Knox here on Strike a Chord. So this demo track, believe it or not, when I say demo track, I'm always amazed because it already sounds like amazing compared to some of the artists that you hear it on the radio today. Like it's really, really well done. And I'm excited to share that with you guys right now. This demo track is called Bad Times right now here on Strike a Chord.
Just trying to play this game. Today is really not my day. It's getting complicated. I got no time for this. It feels like I'm crawling out of it. Keep on rolling. I've been waiting in the rain. No more bitching, not complaining. Nothing standing in my way.
Is this demo track Bad Times, and we got the man himself here with us, Nero Knox. My apologies, my man. I feel like I just sent you the pre-show link instead of the main link. So anybody that's mad, you should be blaming me right now. But we're excited to have you on, Mr. Knox. So how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Sorry, I'm drinking tea. Very British of me, even though...
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. I laughed when I heard about tea, because don't you guys also call dinner tea?
Well, there are so many things that are just so wrong in this place. I'm not originally from here. I've lived here for 19 years now.
Okay.
But originally I'm from Israel, which is a very warm place where they drink black tea with no milk and eat a lot of hummus. So
fascinating. See, I didn't know that about you. I think that's really cool. But I know, you know, obviously, like you just stated right now, you know, you've been in North London for about 19 years now. You played in a lot of kick-ass rock and roll acts such as, you know, King Lizard, Killer T, Holloway Hell. And what made you want to step front and center as the front man now? Because you're such a phenomenal guitarist. And gosh, I don't know. How did you discover your voice?
I spent a lot of my time shouting at people, so I started hitting. No, I'm joking. But I, you know, I was always very passionate about music from the song perspective rather than the guitar. You know, I got into guitar because I was like, when I was young, I was into Slash a lot. And it wasn't just that, you know, it's an icon, it's an image. And I thought it was really cool. And I thought it would be a really cool thing to try and pick up. And it just happened to be that I had the real good, I was resonating a lot with the guitar, pun intended. So, you know, but as I grew up, I started recognizing the difference between music and songs. And for me, it was always about the songs. So there's the music. Every song has a music, right? But, you know, some songs are just, you know, they just grab you, right? And that was interesting to me. And when I was writing music, I always wanted to turn it into those epic songs that I grew up on, you know, the ones that make you feel like, you know, the hair in the back of your neck and all that kind of stuff.
Or, yeah, hell yeah, man. I mean, and I know also that, you know, you've been vocally trained by a legendary rock and roller, Razbon Anderson, from the legendary rock and roll act, Diamond Head. I mean, how did you guys link up? That is right, Marissa? That is so super insane. Badass.
This was really cool, actually, because we did a show. They had a show, this is years ago, they had a show booked in London, and I think it was this time of year, actually. So ticket sales wasn't that good because a lot of people in London, you know, it's kind of a, everyone.
Maybe it's cold outside, right?
Freezing.
It's a lot of immigrants here, you know, like everyone usually fucks off somewhere else in Christmas. They go back home. A lot of Europeans are. So, you know, we never do shows. Anyway, they had a show and I think they called me from the Academy Group, which is the company that manages the big venues. And they said, listen, maybe Killet can come. This was like 5-6 days before the show. And they said, we know you won't sell a lot, but we need some help with that. So we came and helped. And then as a result of that, the following year, Killet joined Diamond Head as a support on their UK tour. And Raz, well, you know, I remember it like, first of all, he's a great guy, right? But you know, he's very friendly. So obviously we were like, we're going to spend some time on the road together. We might as well be all of us friends. But I think me and him had a good connection because on the first day I arrived to the tour bus with the T-shirt, like this yellow shirt that says, ask me about my cock.
And that's how you guys two linked up.
Well, he liked it. If you flip the shirt, you'd see like a rooster, you know?
That's awesome.
That is.
On their first show, which was after our first show on the tour, because we supported them, then they did a show, and he was just looking at me because I was in the audience. He was like, show me your cock, like that.
Shit, I mean, hey, artists, you want to get noticed today, you know the drill. Show me your cock, baby. But, you know, to keep a high standard, you know, sound and allow the freedom to work with no pressure, you decided to pre-sell your album on Kickstarter. And why did you want to self-produce your debut LP compared to finding a record label to back your endeavors?
I actually don't think that record labels are the smart choice these days for any artist. I mean, if you're small, they don't want you. If you're big, you don't need them. If you have the right infrastructure, if you're a businessman, if you're organized, I mean, I don't know if Lady Gaga is working for a label, but I can assure you the label is kind of working for her. She's either paying them to get all the shit organized for her, or she's got her own office. I'm just assuming, I don't know anything about Lady Gaga, but I just chose it because it's like, this is where you want to be, right? And if I'm looking at businesses, This is the same thing, right? You want to be where, you know, and I don't care about, you know, the previous fellow was talking about people who want to be famous and successful. I don't care about that, really. I'm in a point of my life where I know that happiness is not going to come from any of those things, right?
Basically saying you're making music that you like and you're not necessarily concerned or don't really care to, you know, try to induce your music onto somebody. If they like it, they like you. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, one of the biggest PR companies called me, you know, I've worked with them before, and they called me about this album because I left a message and they said, "You sure you want to be the singer?" So I was like, "All right, it's not their cup of tea. That's fine." You know,
wait, like, they really asked you that? Because I was digging your voice. I was.
Like, I know, this me too, man. It's
freaking amazing. So please don't listen to them. Please stay as the singer. Yeah. Okay.
No, seriously, I would not, man. I mean,
this is exactly what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, even, you know, I don't know who was the biggest star ever. I don't know, Michael Jackson. Like, even he, not everyone liked him. Mm-hmm. I love Axl Rose. A lot of people. And I understand what they mean when they say, let's say, oh, he sounds like this screamy duck. You know, I'm like,
okay. I love Axl Rose. I grew up on him. I love him. You know, yes, I love him.
Exactly. I fucking love him. He's awesome. You know, I met him once. He was awesome. But, you know, like, I just want to have a good feeling when I'm doing it. And I do. Now, I never felt like the songs that I wrote got the singer that they deserve, not in terms of level. Actually, I think the singer in Kill It is way better than me, but it was a taste thing. That's all, you know, nothing bad about the, anyone really.
Right, right. Well, you definitely enjoyed your time with, you know, all your other bands, but, you know, obviously as you, you know, start to have a longevity in your career, your musical career, you know, you want to switch it up a bit. And I know when you're working on new material for your debut LP, has anything changed from your previous bands with now that it comes to, you know, recording music in the demo process?
Yeah. So naturally I'm doing a lot more on my own, which is actually not that fun. I love to bounce ideas, especially with the drummer. It's very important for me. If anyone who's ever listened to Pantera, it's something that's very dominant in that band. It's very obvious that the drums and the riff are so well, they're saying something together. So for me, that's something I love it. And I love the fact that I can take that idea and put it into music that doesn't sound anything like Pantera, but I'm still using those principles. And for me, you know, all the offbeats and all the, you know,
but I also saw on your Kickstarter that you wanted to record, you know, drums either at a place called Fiction or Abbey Road. And I thought, you're such a phenomenal guitarist. Why didn't you want to be recording your own, you know, guitar riffs there as well?
So since I wrote that, I changed my mind because I was doing the guitar riffs at home. And the guy, the mixing engineer, came back to me and said, you need better microphones, and the microphones that you need are like, they're like $4,000 each. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go there. So I actually booked, since I started this campaign, because it's going so well, I booked two extra days actually in I'm gonna do this in Fiction, not in Abbey Road actually.
Okay. But I want to leave enough time to be able to play your next demo track, Fire in the Hall. But real briefly, Nero, just for anybody that, you know, isn't involved with, you know, music producing, what is like the average cost? Because you just said that one mic was $4,000. Overall, how much money does it take to produce one track?
That depends on how you work it. But the studio that are high standard are usually would cost between 500 to 800 pounds per day. So that's
about $1,000. Well, I know the pound just became like a dollar. So it's like $800.
About a few weeks ago, I spoke to Mike Frazier. If you don't know who that is, look him up. Mike Frazier is the producer that recorded all of AC/DC's albums, most of Aerosmith's albums. He did a Guns N' Roses album. Wow. And this guy wants...
Didn't he also do Iron Maiden?
Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, and this guy wanted $2,000 per song, plus the studio fees are $900 a day, and you have to pay for the studio. So it becomes very expensive. I understand that it's kind of peanuts to big artists, but... you know, and he also said, look, I can do a better rate, but, you know, it's still very expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
The reality is very simple. There are things that you will have to do in a studio, especially if you're doing rock music or metal, when you want the drums to be huge, You need a big room. Don't get me wrong. You can achieve sounds synthetically. I'm not into that because there's some.
Oh, hell yeah.
You lose. But yeah, for me.
No, absolutely, Nero. And I don't mean to cut you off, man. I just want to be able to have enough time to be able to play your kick-ass demo track. And I'm telling you, CCS family, it's just incredible. I know Nero's like, man, I want to be able to amplify. And I can't wait to hear that kind of shit. But these demos are so freaking kick-ass, and I can't wait to share with you, the CCS family, right now. This is Nero Knox single, Fire in the Hall, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
It's been a hard, long week, and I've been sweating blood. I can feel the grit, and I can taste the mud. Now I got my back against the wall, and nowhere to run. It's time to face the music, it's time to rock. Here you are, sitting at your throne. I'm coming fast in your direction. Those wasted years, I never told you so. I guess it's time for my confession. I am just staring at the wall. I'm here to take it all. Can smell the fire in the hall. And not today you'll fall. It's the same old choice. Gotta move, cause there's nowhere to hide. Just keep running, there's no turning back. I gotta bring it to stay alive. I don't wanna survive, no. I wanna live my life. You better not try. Don't try and stop me now. I ain't just staring at the wall. I'm here to take it all. The smell of fire in the hall. And that's the day you'll fall. I never wanted to go this way.
Oh, yeah. you. That is what's good. That is Nero Knox, and that is his demo track, Fire in the Hall. And support him, man. He's such a kick-ass artist. You can go to Kickstarter.com. It's not that hard to spell in N-I-R-O Knox, and you'll be able to support him. And there's so many fun tiers, systems and all that kind of fun jazz, rewards and etc. And we're running out of time, Nero, but my man, I definitely want to revisit this conversation in the new year when the album's out, and congrats moving forward into the new year, my friend.
You have a sound. Like I said, you have that thing. Like, I love it, and we'll be buying 100%.
Absolutely. I cannot wait, much. Brother. Let's keep in touch, brother.
I'm going to come down and tour over to your
area. Yes!
Let's get it, baby. Keep us posted.
Yes! Love it.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Big love.
Hey, you too, brother. Thank you. And for everybody that's on the Chris Collins Show right now, stick around because we got more left. This is What's Good, and Marissa and I, we want to let you guys know real briefly because we're starting to run out of time, but you know, this is the time where we need to give back, and before kids get too involved with the holiday wish list, help them remember that this season of giving, and that there are children in Los Angeles, I'm just speaking in Los Angeles in general, but worldwide, globally, but since Marissa and I were based in Southern California, we're going to be letting you guys know a few spots where if you want to participate, you want to donate towards these causes, go ahead and do that. And a fun fact, by the way, the holiday toy drive was invented here in Los Angeles in 1947 by Toys for Tots. So you can support Toys for Tots, Disney Ultimate Toy Drive, Spark of Love Toy Drive, and Friends LA, and so much more. And I can't thank the stacked lineup that we had today, Marissa. I mean, come on now. We had Benny Pugh. He is a veteran music industry executive. He did Jay-Z, Rihanna, Mary J. Blige, Travis Scott, Gunna, Young Thug, you name it. It is so badass. And we also got to thank the phenomenal London Cat himself, Nero Knox, discussing his debut LP that's in the works right now. And I want to remind the CCS family to not forget to check out our brand new music podcast, Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring LA pop rockers Poe the Passenger as our seventh installment. You can check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or on this YouTube channel right after this live show. And also, we got an amazing season 13 finale. So we got the one and only, this guy, man, it's incredible. He got an amazing write-up on the Rolling Stone. His name is Demi the Daredevil, and he's going to be sharing his brand new EP with us. And if you like what you're listening to, go ahead and hit the subscribe button right now and click on the bell so you never miss a live show. And if you like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollinsshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt. For now, enjoy the weekend, fam, and Marissa and I will see you for the season 13 finale. Peace. And for anybody who hasn't checked out my brand new Off the Fret podcast featuring LA pop rockers and I was about to say Animal Sun, they are there too, but Poe the Passenger, they're up right now. It's a blast. I mean, guys, let me know what's good. It's on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And I think we got to let the people know what's good, Marissa. I mean, who's our guest for next week?
Yo, you don't have the guests? Oh, my God.
We definitely know what's good.
No, I have it. Do you know it?
I definitely know what's good. I got you. I know I'm starting to run out of time. No, you're way good.
We have a list of guests. I'm like,
It's going to be awesome. We got Nero Knox. He's going to be joining us. He's a guitar player. He's actually going to start singing vocals now. He's actually been professionally trained by the singer of Diamond Head. That's pretty freaking awesome. He's in the demo process. He's going to be sharing it with us. He's got over $100,000 worth of funding for this brand new record. So we're actually going to be doing something different. We're actually going to be listening to demos in real time and actually talking about that entire process to what it takes to develop a full-time record. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope you guys are enjoying the first week of your month of December. And I will see you next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. For now, enjoy the weekend and I'll see you later, fam. Peace. What's good? It's Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring alternative pop rock band Poe the Passenger, amassing over 1 million streams with their debut LP, Alenia, joins Off the Fret. More music, more music talk. good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. Astoria State. Kid Dad. Resounding. Sleep Cycles. Avenues. Freckles. Weather Worn. Just True. Sophia Marie. Music Storm 2022. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy. I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Called Everything is Everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace.